This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello. Hopefully we're live, that we are up. But anyway, hello and welcome back to another live episode of Green and White, brought to you by Argyle Life. BBC One fans were left outraged on Tuesday as they'd relocated the UK's best soap drama for Argyle. Leeds United were the visitors to Home Park as Argyle filled BBC One's... I've messed this up already. I wrote the same sentence twice. Anyway, and much like a big returnee in the Sam Mitchell mould, we've not appeared there since 2008. With most of the main cast missing in action, Ian Foster called upon the extras, all whilst being unable to fill the bench. Nick Cotton, wannabe Daniel Fark, tried to make himself the villain of the piece, but it wasn't to be, as Brendan Galloway notched with his chest and the game finished all Albert Square for an extra time cliffhanger. It's just a shame that we don't still have Matt Butcher for an incredibly easy pun to round things off. Extra time did it for us in the end, as Leeds brought in all their stars to secure a Queen victory. Joining me tonight is the Roxy to my Ronnie, James Stables. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Still living down another Leeds victory in my house, and more worryingly, the goal difference is getting out of control as well now.
Yeah, it's a bit... Well, technically still unbeaten, but I'm sure we'll get onto that. The Phil to my Grant, Finlay Allen. How's things?
Hello, all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. And the Sonia to my Martin, Joe Bell. How's things?
I was dreading what was coming my way. Yes, I'm good. I'm very good.
Good. I hope you brought your trumpet. Joe, whilst you're unmuted and ready to go, why don't you give us a run through?
Yeah, why not? It was probably as dreadful conditions as we've had for a home game, probably since the Bolton game a few years ago that ended in rather farcical circumstances. So first of all, credit to both sets of players and the officials for, you know, getting the game played in the best spirit. I think we'd all agree it was a good cup tie to watch. I don't think there was any shenanigans that went on. And ultimately, there was a gulf in quality between the two teams that were out on the pitch. We were pretty hamstrung with ineligibility of players and injuries. And obviously, we had the two players, unfortunately, missing through personal reasons. And obviously, we give them our best. And, you know, we look forward to welcoming them back in the fold when they're right. Obviously, it's got to be the right time for the pair of them to come back. As Fozzie said after the game, family comes first. But look, don't take anything away from Leeds United. I thought first half, although they'd hit the bar twice and Nonto got a bit of luck down that right side, I thought we acquitted ourselves pretty well. I thought they were a bit slow and lethargic when they were in possession, and I think that was pretty clear. Daniel Farker thought exactly the same, because they came out at the start of the second half, and my word. You hear about footballing cliches about a rocket being put up a team. Well, it was certainly put up Leeds in that second half. They just came at us from the first whistle in the start of the second half, and it was a bit of an onslaught. I suppose the end of it, what's really frustrating is the fact that it's three errors on our part and an own goal. You know, it's not come from scintillating football that's cut us open. It's two really good finishes from Willy Nonto and Crescencio Somerville. You can't take anything away from the strikes. But we got caught in possession for the first one. We gave the ball away sloppily for the second. And young Caleb, you know, he has a 50-50, doesn't he? He turns right or left, and unfortunately he turned the wrong way. But that happens. That comes with inexperience. We got our goal. I think that was probably the one objective we all wanted from the tie, was to get the goal. But look, you know, fair play to them. They were clinical. They were ruthless. And the way I look at it is, I sort of feel like Leeds did to us today what they probably should have done to us 10 days ago. You know, we whilst we were brave and we gave it everything we had with what resources we had, you know, Leeds were just a class above us. And that's life. You know, that's just how football goes sometimes. And wish them all the best of luck. It would appear, certainly on the way we're going at the moment, they're heading to Stamford Bridge. So, you know, best of luck to them. But ultimately, we were always going to say it, if we got beat, we've got bigger fish to fry in the league. And actually, the first half of that game yesterday gives me a lot of hope for next weekend, given that we're going to have a whole host of players back available, because I thought we acquitted ourselves very well in the first half yesterday. You know, if any Leeds fans thought it was going to be an easy night, then they were very much mistaken. Look, across both ties, I think both teams have contributed to a really, really good competitive FA Cup tie. Scoreline last night doesn't reflect, in my opinion, how the night actually went. I think the fourth goal is really harsh. Had it been 3-1, I'd have probably accepted that a little bit more. But scoreline is, as Fozzie said, it's a bit sobering. It looks like a hammering, but it wasn't. And yeah, look, let's just go forward into the weekend. The players will go to the well again, as they did last night. And there was plenty. Although Leeds were utterly dominant, and they had a lot of the ball, you know, let's just see how we see how we go.
James, go on, follow that up. Obviously, you've already mentioned that you share a household with a Leeds fan. I'm kind of glad that we didn't go and play Chelsea, because I have to do that with a Chelsea fan. Sorry, James, I don't know what's happened to your audio there. I'll bring in Finn and let you that one up. Finn, same question for you. Go on, just follow up Joe, basically. What are your thoughts on last night?
Pretty admirable, you know, after the game. It's clear that you can see Leeds quality. If we got one Morgan Whittaker, they've got about five of them, in terms of not equal quality, but in terms of the type of player that can really hurt you. And you know, to say that I'm quite partial to supporting Wales in the football, and they didn't even have Dan James in the squad last night, and he's a player who can, at this level, is very, very effective. Sorry, yeah, I'm from a Welsh family, but yeah, I also like England too. You know, I can't deny any football. Anyway, regardless of that, they've got a lot of good players and a lot of players that were, you know, out injured as well. Despite the quality they had, they still had players that can come in. They got a very deep squad, and I felt, you know, we were lucky with a few shots last night. You know, they hit the bar and post about three times. Having said that, I felt we were very well organised, and you know, we did well for. And considering, like, we weren't ever going to have a lot of the ball anyway. And then, I mean, I will probably come on to this at some point later on. But you know, Joe Edwards played his first game in midfield in 5 years. I think since the game against Swindon, when they went top of the league against us in League Two, that's the last game I can remember. Unless somebody can correct me, I think that's the last game he played.
It sounds about right. Sounds about right.
I remember saying at the time, I don't think he's you know, this was 5 years ago in League Two before COVID. Can you imagine that before COVID? You know, I think I said at the time, I don't think he's a midfielder at this level. I've seen quite a few harsh opinions on him across social media this week, but I thought he stuck to his task well. If you said you have to mark, I can't remember who he's marking, but in the first and second half, but if you said to him at some point in this game after 5 years out of playing midfield, you have to mark Crescencio Somerville, who might be the best player in the championship, arguably. I mean, that's as tough a job as you're going to get. So I don't think the midfield particularly gave us a platform as such when we had the ball. But I do think that they did a great job off the ball and restricted Leeds to actually a lot of not a lot of clear-cut chances. So I think it's nice to see, you know, us stick to our task and be competitive against a team that is obviously very very well drilled and actually a very good football side. You know, I wouldn't be, if I didn't know the two positions between the two sides last night going into the game, I wouldn't be surprised if someone said to me, yeah, they're a Premier League side. You know, they didn't look that much worse to me than Crystal Palace, is what I'm trying to say, you know, that I've seen this season. So I was pretty pleased with our efforts. And I think if we had more players to choose from in the squad last night, it might have been a closer result.
Yeah, I think we'll get on to the missing men. There's a couple of Leeds fans in the chat as well. We'll get on. We might cover Darko JB in a bit, seeing as you've asked so nicely, potentially. James, I feel like you had something to say. Let's see if your audio's...
Yeah, am I back?
Yeah, that was much better.
Great. Yeah, just to get some colour there. I've been with my wife for 14 years, and this is the first season that we've Leeds and Argyle actually played each other. And now we've had it four times, and three times in 3 weeks, and I'm absolutely sick of it already. So also we have a newborn, so she went to bed at the end of when it was 1-1. I haven't actually told her that they'd won yet, so I'm just hoping that she didn't notice. But yeah, I thought the first half was a really nice synopsis of our new style under Foster. I think we were tighter, well organised, and I feel that over the 90 minutes, first 90 minutes, if we'd been under Shuey in the old regime, I do think we would have probably lost that 2-3-1 in the 90 minutes, because we were a lot tighter. They weren't playing down the sides of our centre-backs. They didn't have the space. We managed to stifle them. And I thought it was a top performance in the first half. Obviously, we looked... They gained control in the second half. Came out with obviously a revised plan. We were really trying to affect the game from Whittaker being a decoy and down the right, and then giving Mumba the space. Obviously, they tightened that ploy up in the second half, and we just didn't really have it out. And when you're out of possession so much, I think the tiredness of chasing them around the pitch started to a very heavy pitch started to take effect. So, and with our lack of subs and all of the mitigating factors we already know, it was a foregone conclusion. And I sort of cursed slightly to myself when that ball ricocheted off the post in the 90th minute, because I just thought, I don't want this to go to extra time. This is only going one way with what they've got off the bench. And we kind of could have done without it, couldn't we? So,
yeah, I think both teams were praying that somebody was going to win it in 90 minutes, but not to be. Obviously, as already mentioned, Ian Foster's technically unbeaten Greens go marching on. Obviously, we always do it, full-time thoughts. So let's summarise what people had to say. Let's find some, because I've not pre-picked any. I know he's listening in. So the Crazy Pilgrim says, you can't ignore that three of the goals came from mistakes. Right, Edwards. And it was Roberts after Phillips didn't help with a pass. Tough on them, but changed the game. Caitlin says, good effort. The boys just looked knackered in extra time. Squad depth is what killed us. Maybe should have brought a few subs on earlier too. Nikki Ward says, Phillips was good with the fans, getting the Lindhurst, cheering them on in extra time. He seems to have settled in well. He has settled in very well. I thought he was pretty good last night. Obviously, not brilliant for the Summerfield goal, but to be honest, I'll let him off. He's like 12 years old. Simon Fisher says all of the above. We thought we played really well. The scoreline flattered them in the end onto Saturday, and we take the positives up to our, up the Argyle. Obviously, we've got that big trip ahead of us, and I'm sure we'll get onto that. And so there's a big one as well. Woody the drum. Zero disgrace in that performance. Boys gave absolutely everything. Chin up. We'll do them next week. On that, Joe, obviously next week, we will have quite a few of those missing players back. Obviously, off the top of my head, what was it? Bundu was out. Divine, Forshaw. JB Houghton, I say off the top of my head, I'm now reading it off a list. Sousa, obviously Miller was missing, and Pleguezalo. Is there another one? People are saying nine, so I feel like there's one more, but I make that eight. Obviously, eight players missing. How different is that game going to be had we had those, at least, or even half of those available?
Yeah, they could have made a difference last night. They may well make a difference next Saturday. I would caveat it by saying that next Saturday, Vicencio Somerville, Jorginho Rutter, Joe Gellhart, maybe even Dan James, Archie Gray, Patrick Bamford, they could all come into the Leeds United side. So whilst, yes, we're going to look like a totally different opposition ourselves, and we are going to be stronger, Leeds are going to be stronger themselves, which is a frightening prospect given that, how strong they were even at the start of the game last night. I thought they had more than enough on the pitch to get it done in 90 minutes. And in the end, it was just the class off the bench that told. And that's just the difference in this league, isn't it? These teams, your Leeds, your Southamptons, your Leicesters, even if you go further down the league, like Hull City now have unbelievable depth in the positions that they've got. West Brom have good players that can come off the bench. You can go on all day. Middlesbrough have good players. So it's just the level you're playing at now. So we're going to have to be careful of that. The comments is just saying there, the players who didn't play will be fresh. That's right. Forshaw, JB, Vine, they've all had their feet up. Probably got a little bit wet, just like the rest of us did last night. But they'll be ready to go at Sunderland, and we're going to need every single one of them. Obviously, time will tell whether in time for the weekend, whether Pleggy and Mikel are back. But I'm not too sure what the deal is with Bundu or Houghton, whether or not they're back for this weekend, or whether we're going to try and get one or two of them back for Coventry or even Leeds. But we have got, four games in 9 days coming up now, so it's extra time on a heavy pitch in atrocious conditions really wasn't in the script last night. Like James, I wasn't hoping that Gellhart's shot went in off the post. I was certainly more hoping that Yann Mellier screwed up at the other end when Hardy put his boot through one as time expired, but it's what it is. Look, just got to get on with it. We were a part of a really good fourth round tie. We're going to have players who are fresh and fit and ready to go. And as I say, it will be a different game. It will be a different game down here next weekend. But that's because both sides will be stronger than they were tonight. So it'll be an interesting one to watch, certainly.
That, and it will also will be a different game because it is quite literally a different game. Obviously, those absentees allowed some other players to shine, James. Obviously, Sorinola came in. Thought he was absolutely fantastic last night until he looked pretty dead come the end, didn't he? Bless him. But not played in quite some time. Obviously, I think I tweeted saying something about like an upgrade on Kane Kessler-Hayden. I think that seems to be the shared common view. I don't know what you make of Sorinola's performance last night. And
I thought he was absolutely fantastic. Really did a job on Nonto, kept him quiet. Didn't give him any space to cross or cut in. It was absolutely fantastic performance. You could tell he was kind of playing out of his skin. He really obviously wanted to take the opportunity. And I love this mantra that Fozzie seems to have, where he says, run yourself into the ground and then put your hand up if you want to come off, and someone will come and do the same job as when you as you. So I love that.
That's all well and good until all 11 put their hand up, isn't it?
Yeah, could have done with that a few more at the end, but yeah, absolutely fantastic first half. Kind of dropped out of the game a little bit in the second half. I didn't notice him as much, and yeah, his legs obviously fell off at 70 minutes. But all I want to say is, I want a list of all of the players that Swansea think are terrible in their squad, and we'll just sign them all. This summer, and the Greens are going up because they've got 100% hit rate of making terrible calls on their players.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the one Swansea fan that we spoke to on our preview pod was like the only one that seemed to be level headed about it. But yeah, I mean, like you say, they've got some success rate there, haven't they?
I love what they said. We were definitely wrong about Whittaker, but believe us, this time, definitely, this guy is terrible, and actually, he seems to be really good. So, shock, we get it. We seem to have got it right again. Yeah, he was playing out of his skin on his debut, but yeah, very, very positive debut. And oh, yeah, too early to say upgrade on Kessler Hayden. We certainly had the defensive work rate that will be a huge asset for us. So
yeah, it's just his energy as well. He's like he is like a kid because he's 22 and that's young to me now, but he is just like a kid in a sweet shop, isn't he? Bless him. Absolutely love him already. He's one of those that's he's joined some terrible footballers in my pantheon of Argyle greats already. Finn, that's your name. I always forget your name. Sorry, Finn. Adam Randall, obviously another player that I absolutely love. Do you think he's done enough to cause Foster a bit of a selection headache in midfield? Because he was absolutely phenomenal last night, I thought.
Yeah. I think the one... We might lose a viewer here. But I think the one mistake that you could say that we... that he made last night was when he I think he gave the ball away for Nonto's goal, but I do think that Callum Wright should have been closer to him to receive that in the first place. And apart from that, I think he had a very good game. I'm a bit surprised that, to be honest, not that JB's done a bad job, but I do think that I haven't seen like anything really outstanding with JB to say that he should be definitely in the side instead of Randall. So if I'm honest, I would like to see him in the next game. Because like you said, I do think he had a good game last night. It seemed to suit him, you know. He's a similar player. Even though that was Joe Edwards' first game in 5 years in midfield, he's a similar player to Joe Edwards in that he likes the off-the-ball work. You can see that he sort of relishes that, snapping at people's toes and trying to nick the ball off them. So I'd really like to see him play. Whether I see Foster selecting him for the next game is another, because he seems to really trust the players that he's brought in January so far, which is fair enough. But yeah, I'd like to see him. Whether we see him against... Sunderland is another point in itself, but yeah, I thought he had a good game, and I would start him on Saturday, to be honest, if it was me. But Foster, I think, might choose Jamie.
Yeah, Joe, I think also, you know, playing 120 minutes will dictate the team selection up at Sunderland. Obviously, we'll get on to Sunderland eventually, but Do you see Randall starting that one, or would you be chucking JB in just because of the minutes and the turnaround and give the Leeds fans what they're asking for?
I'd be surprised. I do think we'll just revert back to type in that five positions, the two midfielders, the two tens, and the striker. As I alluded to earlier, there's four games in 9 days, so there will be Randall is going to start games in this period. Yeah, but I would certainly expect a Sunderland for sure, JB and Devine just to waltz straight back in.
Yeah, James, whilst Finn's already mentioned it in his opening speech, his Joe Edwards' move into centre mid. I thought he was actually quite good there. It was when he moved to wing back and, you know, his legs had gone a bit. What did you make of his return to the middle?
I was surprised to see some of the social reaction to his game, because watching it, I thought he was doing a fair job. He broke forward and obviously would have liked to have seen him make a better fist of that massive chance we had in the first half, which is what he does quite well, even from fullback, isn't it? To gets forward and he seems to be the man in the right place at the right time. And I thought that would have been nice to see him make a better fist of that. I thought he got around, got up and down the on the right hand side of that pair. I didn't really see him do anything too much wrong in the first half, and then come to the sort of social reaction after the game, and it was like you had the worst, you know, an absolute shocker. I didn't see it personally until the end, and then obviously I think like everybody else, tiring legs. He gets forward, gets the ball, gives the ball away cheaply, and then, you know, it's his vacant space that Somerville's running through and isolating Phillips. So yeah, it wasn't a good end to the game for him. But taking the main 90, I didn't highlight him as anyone I had particular concerns about. Sort of solid but unspectacular. Surprised by the negative comments on social, to be honest.
Yeah, big shout out to Ryan Hardy's nan, Sandra, who's in the comments. I love you, Sandra. Keep it up. Where was I going with that? Oh yeah, I think my plan would have been moving Callum Wright into the centre mid position and brought off Edwards slightly earlier. But Callum Wright not having the best game, Joe. We did get a question about it earlier, but I can't find it. What did you make of Callum Wright's step up to the Championship so far? I don't want to go in too hard on him because obviously people adapt differently, but, and I feel like you will be the most level-headed here.
So I've a big thought on this, really. Look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Football is a game of opinions. That's why we love it. However, we have a player in our squad who is the perfect reason why, as a fan base, we don't do what collectively we appear to be doing, and that's rounding on a player. Morgan Whittaker spent some very unhappy years at other clubs when people rounded on him. It affected his confidence. It affected the way he played. Now, Callum Wright knows that he can probably be playing better than he is. And we've got to remember, I'm not sure off the top of my head, how many games has Callum Wright played at this level? He's a young footballer. He's an inexperienced footballer who's going to be learning every game. But that's the mantra of this football club now. While Forshaw, Edwards, and some of the more experienced players, we are building a squad of young players. Fozzie said it himself about the players he's brought in on loan. They're going to make mistakes, but we are going to be there for them. We're going to rally around them. We're going to pick them up, and we're going to go again. Now, look, I saw it. You could see it happening, what happened last night with that first goal. You're taught as a kid, you go to the ball. You don't wait for the ball to come to you. But Callum Wright's made a mistake. We've all made mistakes. It's not the end of the world. It's a goal in a football match. Like, I thought the reaction on social media really was outrageous. You know, you're entitled to your opinion. Of course you are. I'm not calling anyone out. If people want to voice their opinion, then chapeau. You've got social media platforms to do that. I personally wouldn't do it. Certainly not on this occasion. There were glimpses last night where Callum Wright was very effective. You know, when he got free on the side, or when he got the ball out wide, we got a lot of joy in that first half when we did get it out wide. There was a moment where he was deliberately fouled, which I think led to a yellow card for, was it Rodon, who pulled it back when it looked like he was through and Hardy was running ahead of him. He hasn't played many games either, is he? Like, it's frustrating. And just, I think we've all just got to take a sit back. He's made a mistake. He knew he made a mistake last night. He doesn't need anyone else to tell him. But the comment sums it up perfectly. A lot happened after that. We went on to make two more mistakes. So it's not just on Callum Wright. You know, he's short on confidence. That's the one thing that I think is apparent. And everyone turning against him isn't going to help that. But, you know, he's got a manager there. He's got a group of players who'll rally behind him and try and pick him up. Whether or not he regains his confidence this season or not, I don't know. Only Callum Wright will know what needs to be done to gain his confidence back. But he, without playing regular minutes, there's the point there. Without playing regular minutes, you're not going to get the confidence. You're not going to be up to speed. And the Championship is played at such a different pace to anything else. It is polar opposite to League One. The teams are polar opposite to League One. So, look, he's young, make mistakes. I'm not going to have a go at him. I was frustrated the mistake happened. But I think you can also, you know, some people might not want to hear this because of their opinion on Callum Wright, and that's fine. But you've also got to praise the Leeds lad for nipping in there and winning the ball. Like, he was aggressive. The press was aggressive from Leeds in that second half. He nipped in there. He won the ball. They went and scored. You know, move on. People make mistakes.
Yeah, I think I think we need to understand that we can't switch around a predominantly, you know, average League One side into a mid-table Championship side within two windows either, especially with the budgets we've got, you know, if we still had Schumacher, then I'd most probably still be worried for Wright. But, you know, for a manager or head coach, like Foster, who's worked with so many young talents, I could see with a bit of time him actually, you know, moulding him into what Leicester and Blackpool saw.
Can I just say, like, I think with Wright, it's kind of like it makes sense sort of in the middle in terms of, I think we didn't, like, so when before we got anybody in the summer, in terms of the players that we retained, I think I was really looking forward the most to seeing him in the Championship, because I thought he could have really, you know, kicked on and you know, in terms of his form at the end of last season and really had an effect on this season. Unfortunately, that hasn't worked out for him. As I'm sure he would have liked so far, but if we think back to it, you know, he was the player that really came in and kind of replaced Morgan Whittaker when he went back to Swansea in January. He kind of filled in the role in a different way, but he was kind of as effective and was a really big part of our end of season push last year to get promoted. So I think if you look at it that way, I think Morgan Whittaker has probably exceeded expectations a lot, and Callum Wright has not done as well as he'd hoped. So if you look at it that way, it's kind of balanced itself out. I still think there's potential for Callum Wright to you know, stake his claim in this squad and be a very good player for Plymouth Argyle. I just think at the moment he's kind of struggling, and you know, it's Championship. Like Joe kind of mentioned, it's Championship level. You're coming up against good players every week. It's very ruthless. He'll know as well as anybody that his performances will need to improve if he wants to be part of this squad going forward. So I think whilst it's important, you know, that we don't go in on him too hard, because, you know, like everyone, he's stepping up to a really difficult level when maybe he wouldn't have expected it when last season started. But at the same time, I think it is worth pointing out that, you know, he's in a difficult situation at the moment. So not to be too hard on him, but you know, I think at the same time, it's not a bad thing to say that, you know, we've kind of been disappointed with his performances this season, which so far.
It's not an ideal situation, as Finn says, that, you know, we are left short in attacking positions. And that's why we cannot be rounding on players who play in those attacking positions, because we are going to need Callum Wright in the next, certainly in the next few weeks. We're going to need Callum Wright to come into the side, and we're going to need him to do a job for us. And as a fan base, we're going to have to get behind him like we do with every other player in the squad. So he had a bad night last night. Players have off nights. Players make mistakes. And let's not forget that, you know, as Finn said, he scored some crucial goals at the back in the last season that helped the title win. I know people say loyalty isn't everything in football, you know, and people will have their opinions on that. But, you know, he was a player who was instrumental in getting us to this position, and he deserves a chance to have a go at this division.
Yeah, I think as well, we are quite famously, I think we all know it as a fan base, and I've been guilty of it before. We do like a scapegoat, don't we? Now that Tyreek Wright's gone, Callum takes up his namesake's mantle and runs with it. I mean, we still have Ben Wayne, so I mean, take your pick. Obviously, James Callum Wright was replaced by young Freddie Osaka. You know, absolutely, I thought, again, a good impact off the bench. Do you think he... Where was the question? Let's get it. Ryan, Argyle Flyer, says, do you think Freddie is ahead of Callum Wright now in Foster's plans?
No. Well, in Foster's plans, Foster loves a young prospect, doesn't he? Throwing Caleb Roberts into the first team for the first leg at Leeds. I could see him seeing potential in Osaka that sees him maybe not, obviously not start games, but be the man coming on in the 70th, 80th minute. That's also where I feel like the potential for Callum Wright is to shine, you know, closing out games against tired legs. Because I feel like, just to revisit slightly on the last conversation, he felt like, what I loved about him is he was such a confidence player. Like, he had that level of class, and he felt like he had a player on toast, it was like he would come to life. And he's got a bit of a streak in him as well, where he gets stuck in and he's at that League One level that he just has got the confidence to take his man on. It just maybe looks a little bit overawed at the moment, coming off the back of injury, not playing all the time, trying too hard, lack of confidence. So I'd like to think that Fozzie sees that, and we see some 70, 80th minute appearances from Wright, build him up. Maybe something goes in for him, gets an assist, bit of confidence, and he starts like getting back to his old self, because it does feel like a confidence thing. To go back to your question, what Osaka's got is that pace. The young players have that bravery. They're not as overawed by the occasion. So yeah, I think we'll see a lot of him. We should see a lot of him. And when he comes on, I really think he should express himself to his fullest and play without fear. And that's all we can ask really at this stage. So yeah. Don't know what it's in Fozzie's head, but with both of them, play without fear and hopefully they get their opportunities, and I'm sure they will.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Joe, our mate Ben, popped up saying obviously Roberts seemed noticeably improved from the first game. Promising. I have to agree with that. I thought, obviously, apart from the mistake, I'm not going to lambast him for that. Not really asked. Is what it is. You know, we'd have lost 3-1 without it. But thoughts on Caleb Roberts' performance whilst we're going through the youngsters?
Yeah, I think you can throw both him and Freddie into the same sort of conversation, really. They brought energy, you know, obviously fresh legs. which was imperative last night. But they brought a real, you know, a real, I don't know what it was, a real confidence. You know, they had a real confidence about them. You know, a real desire to go out there and make a point to Fozzie. And I thought Caleb Roberts was excellent when he came on. He looked calm on the ball. There were a couple of moments where we were trying to play it out from the back, and Phillips and Gibson and Mumba sort of got themselves in a bit of a muddle. And they just fed it to Caleb Roberts, who took a touch or two, just spread it out to Galloway, or he'd spread it through the midfield. You know, the mistake's a mistake, you know, as you say, Aaron. We'd have lost the game. We'd have lost the game anyway. It doesn't really, you can't have a go at him for that. He's, as I said, going back to Callum Wright, he's a young lad who's going to make mistakes. I thought it was a really impressive game. And what struck me about Caleb Roberts actually last night, thought he had a decent game. Ellen Road, all things considered, there were real promising signs. I remember doing the podcast with Sam, and I think we both agreed that it was one of those performances that you could see what Caleb is good at and you can see what Fozzie sees in him. But it was also a performance at Ellen Road where Fozzie could turn around and say, right, yes, you did that well, you did that well. Here's what you need to improve on. Here's what you need to get better at. Last night, I thought when he came into that side, bear in mind Randall and Edwards had pretty good games in that midfield, given they were up against an informed Gruyev, who's really hit a good run in the lead side, and Kamara, who's outstanding, on top of Joel Pirou, who was deeper in the system last night, I believe. Caleb Roberts didn't look out of place in our midfield last night. He really didn't. For a young man new into the side, I thought he slotted in there seamlessly. And look, he's going to be in plenty of our match day squads between now and the end of the season. Fozzie has obviously taken a shine to him. He obviously sees something he likes. And look, these are the sorts of players that Fozzie's been dealing with for a number of years now. And we've seen a few of them coming on loan, and they've done a pretty good job since they've come in on loan. So it was a really, really eye-catching performance from Caleb and Freddie. You know, there were a few in the ground who rather hopefully went up for a penalty when Freddie was rather effortlessly muscled off the ball. But, you know, with any luck in a couple of years' time, he'll be shoving the fullback out of the way and he'll be getting in the box himself. But, no, two really good cameos from the young lads last night. And there's plenty to be positive about the pair of them.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen before this, I think, Caleb Roberts cameo up at Grimsby. I don't think he was somebody that I thought was anywhere near the first team, really, just lack of involvement when Schumacher was here. Obviously, Ian Foster seems to have taken him under his wing, obviously giving him that start up at Ellen Road. That's what the FA Cup's for, right? Bleeding some of our youth as well. I mean, good job we don't have the Papa John's trophy, because we'd be winning that, or, you know, back on our way to the final again of that one with some of the talent we've got coming through. Zach obviously mentions Jack Matthews as well. You know, it's 2 minutes. When the team sheet came out, I did have to, like, search our guys' website for who Jack Matthews was. I can't lie. I was expecting, you know, you hear some of the names from the youth team that, Joe, sometimes you mentioned them. I think there's like a Tegan Finn and a, you know, there's players that you've like heard of. Jack Matthews. I absolutely love a player coming on with such a big number on the back of their shirt. I want him to keep that number for the rest of his Argyle career. Gavin Parry says, we are off to Chelsea. I assume you're a Leeds fan, Gavin. Unfortunately for you, yes, you're off to Stamford Bridge, but brilliantly for the TV cameras. I'm actually kind of less annoyed that we lost last night. I wasn't annoyed anyway, but I'm less so now. Sorry, Joe?
I just fancy Leeds to beat Chelsea at the moment, given how Chelsea are playing and what Leeds have been capable of. So,
yeah, you say that, though, but Chelsea have actually been annoyingly quite good tonight, by the looks of it. Anyway. James mentions fans leaving early is disrespectful and does my head in. Yeah, I mean, I can sort of understand that, James, but I mean, also last night's conditions. If you were sat in the Mayflower Lower last night, hats off to you, because to still be sat there at extra time, whilst you are piss soaked wet through, fair play to you. I mean, I would have gone home 10 minutes in, to be honest. I just can't be dealing with that. Jack FPL says, opinions on playing out from the back, Finn, go. short and sweet.
Sorry. Against Leeds, not the best idea. In general, not very. In general, not really against it. I do think, you know, we have a good enough midfield generally to play against, play out against most teams. But against Leeds, obviously, they got a lot of quality. So, yeah, I, to be honest, I said to my dad after the game yesterday that yesterday was one of the only games I can remember in sort of recent times where I wanted us to kick it long, because we just weren't able to, especially with the changes we had to make in midfield, we just weren't able to retain the ball. So at least with long balls, you know, out from Hazard, we might have got knockdowns. But at the same time, I can understand like, you know, us trying to play out from the back because we don't want to sort of introduce new habits and try and improve on the ones that we on tactics that we already want to implement. But yeah, against most teams in this division, I think we can do it. Against the top three teams in this division, probably not. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, but I suppose it's a good time to learn, right? Especially when we've got players that are going to come in and fit that system. Lee and Jill Jeffrey both ask, what does everybody think of Morgan Whittaker's performance? I mean, James, we've mentioned on this pod before about him being a, I don't want to say a highlights reel player, because that's not what we said about him, you know, having moments of brilliance, and he can go 80 odd minutes by being quiet. But I think last night he was very quiet, wasn't he?
I feel like he was a little bit quiet by design last night. He sort of entertained Firpo and then drifted in and let Mumba sort of take up his former position. There was one where it was really evident where where Firpo just blindly followed Whittaker in field and left Mumba, who didn't make the most of those crosses in from last night. Make the most of those crosses in last night. So I feel like Fozzy might have looked at Leeds and thought, well, they're going to put two men on, and they're well aware of him. Everyone's talking about him. Let's use him as a bit of a decoy and see if we can make space for other people. I think that's possibly why we didn't see as much from him in our dominant period as we might have done. But it wasn't when he did get on the ball. I felt like he was rushing. He was too quick to get a shot off. It wasn't a standout game of his, of course, after all the attention. A game on TV is the one where he kind of sort of melts into the background a little bit. But I do think it was slightly by design last night, and then in the extra time period we saw him get on the ball a lot more. But as I say, it's having that kind of game where it didn't really feel like it was going to go for him.
Yeah, I mean, Richard makes a good point there, you know, like, what do they call it? The pre-assist. You'll know this, James. You're into all that nerdy stat stuff. Joe, as we know, is not. The pre-assist for the goal, I think, that, you know, Phillips cuts it back, doesn't he? For Galloway on that, then, I don't know who I haven't been to. I'll come back to you, Joe. Why not? Ian Foster, set-piece king. That's it. That's all I'm giving you.
Just very quickly on the old stats things, I did see that for all the XG lovers out there, of which I know there are many, many on many famous podcasts in the Football League as well, Leeds only had an XG last night of 1.55. So I suppose their underlying numbers weren't all that impressive. Anyway, back to the matter in hand, set pieces. Yeah, who'd have thought it? London buses. You wait for one to come along, two come along in the space of 4 days. Was it by design? Was it? It was a lovely floated ball to the back post, and Phillips keeps it alive, which is all you can ask him to do. It hits Galloway. He's running towards goal and it hits him. Thankfully,
put some respect on Galloway's skillful chest, please.
It was one of them, wasn't it? We'll give him one of them. But yeah, look, it's it's a set piece goal. We should always be pretty pleased to have a set piece goal. It's nice to be competitive from them, because actually even some of the corners last night, you know, I think there was only one that didn't beat the first man. So they were all getting in the box. I think on a couple of occasions we did win that first contact. I did notice, I think it might have been the first corner of the game when we piled under Melier's crossbar, and the referee had a number of conversations with Leeds players. I did notice that he actually intimated with the final conversation that he sort of threw his arms out wide and pointed to the penalty spot as if to say, if I see you do that when I blow the whistle, I am giving a penalty. And then when the ball had been cleared and Melier was going to take the goal kick, he did actually have a word with Liam Cooper, as if to say, you know, you can't be doing any more of that for the rest of the night. I have seen what you've been up to. So, yeah, look, we're competitive at set pieces. He was very quick to praise Kevin Nanskeville at the weekend. I don't know whether that was one of Nance's routines or whether that was just something that was off the cuff. But I think as a fan base, we're all absolutely delighted that, you know, I was going to games, and whenever we get a free kick in an attacking position, bar when Bundu tried to take the goal out of the back of the Lindhurst Road, the Barn Park end, sorry, against Sheffield Wednesday, I actually sit there with the free kicks and corners thinking, oh, it's a waste of time getting excited about these. But now you genuinely feel like we're carrying a threat, which is just positive, given certainly one of our centre halves is about 8 foot two.
We're up to, what are we on, 50, bloody hell, we're on 50 minutes already. I think maybe it's time to start talking about Sunderland, unless anybody's got anything to talk about. Go on, Joe, you've always got something to add, haven't you?
I do. I just want to chuck in a little bit of ref watch. I know I mentioned praise for the referees earlier. I did say it on Twitter last night, but it is worth mentioning. Rob Jones, Ring Cook and Stuart Burt with possibly one of the best refereeing performances I've seen in the flesh, certainly for a long time. It's a bit of a power flex by the referees, not wearing their FA badges and coming out with their FIFA badge on their chest. I thought all three of them were absolutely outstanding. Jones tried to let the game flow. There were countless times where he would signal to players, I've tried to play an advantage, there wasn't one. I don't think you could argue with any of his decisions. And you can certainly see why in the realms of referees at the moment, why he is seen as one of our best up and coming referees. More of that, please. However, I suspect I'll be reverting to type next week talking about war decisions.
Oh, hopefully, because they're much more fun to listen to. Finn, Zach Brown asked on Twitter, he says, well, he didn't ask, he just says, I feel for the young conditioning coach. How do we get our small squad fit for another 90 minutes on Saturday in Sunderland? A nice short trip for us, obviously just the 800-mile round trip up to the northeast. How do you see Saturday going, Finn?
I mean, obviously, I kind of do get what Zach is saying, but at the same time, we had about five players missing last night. So,
and the other three.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it all. Basically, all of the, if not start, all of the players that were signed in the January transfer window play some part on Saturday. Obviously, they'll be fresh. We don't really need to go over the striker situation again. We know we're short on that. Whether you agree on whether that's, you know, whether we could have done better in that area is another discussion. I don't know. I think we will be tired. You know, we can't dress that up. They're all human beings. If any of us ran around in the rain for 120 minutes, then we'd all be tired. You know. So, and I'm surprised. I know Craig Mack said that he met Barley Mumber today. I'm surprised he wasn't still in bed after last night. I think we'll give us a good account of ourselves. Obviously, Sunderland are a decent side, but they're a good side, but they're going for a sticky patch with his name, Mick Beale. So I think we'll lose that 2-1, but we'll give a good account of ourselves, is what I think. And I don't think we'll be too tired. Some players will be tired, but I think the general team will be rotated quite a lot from last night.
Yeah, James, Finn's just mentioned him there. Mick Beale in at Sunderland, obviously after taking the reins from Tony Mowbray. This is the bit where I normally come to John and he has some outrageous opinion on their manager and how much he hates them and calls them a charlatan and a fraud. Thoughts on Sunderland under Mickey Mike?
Pressure was relieved on him by getting a nice gift from Schumacher on me. I think we have to, what's the word that Sam likes to talk about, the sort of psychology of big stadiums? Paraha.
Hyperbole.
Sam uses a lot of words wrong.
We've got to deal with a bit of that, I think. have we got a result at Sunderland in the recent League One?
Was it the Lewis game, wasn't there?
The Joe Edwards winner in COVID was the last time.
I don't have too many great memories of us playing Sunderland. I think part of that is we need to play big stadium. Hopefully we with our added experience in the team now, we've obviously been, these players have had some bigger occasions in the last couple of years. Hopefully we deal with that a bit better than I think we have done in the past. So I think that's a little factor that will be possibly pivotal. Sunderland, top players. Yeah, form's not great, is it? They seem to be still pretty good at home. So, yeah, it's a tough test. It's in a run of extremely difficult games. But, yeah, I think this is the games where the addition of Forshaw is really going to tell. And luckily he's got fresh legs for Saturday. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, who's the lad that's currently on loan at Newport that's still at Liverpool that we had? Did he not score a winner against Sunderland?
Adam Lewis, yeah.
Adam Lewis, that's the one. Did he not, or was that in the same game? Is that in the 2-1 Joe Edwards game?
Yeah, he did score in that game, yeah.
Oh, God. My memory of all games through COVID is just terrible. Yeah. I just remember putting a bet on that he was going to score because he signed up the day before.
But I think I remember that one more because we won in a big stadium, you know, regardless of anybody being there. In that season we were very, very inconsistent and pretty poor in a lot of games actually, so, and they were, you know, challenging towards the playoffs, so that sticks in my mind, that one a bit.
Yeah, that and the clip that always pops up on Sky Sports reels of a Sunderland and Argyle fan racing on the pitch and the other one trips him up, but beyond that, and there being loads of steps. Joe, obviously, Clark is their main man. Who's the most expensive winger / inside forward in the Championship derby? Who are their main threats? How do you see it going on Saturday?
Big one for me. My boss is a Sunderland fan. I'm 1-0 up this season, so I'd like to make sure that we can get another win. Otherwise, my shift with him next Thursday could be quite unbearable. They've got good players all over the park. Dom Ballard's a very good centre-half at the back. Dan Neal is good in midfield. Luke O'Nien is one of those really irritating players who's got an infectious personality and he can play a number of positions. Joe Bellingham hasn't really... I think it's tricky with Joe Bellingham because he's a Bellingham. So there's an added expectation on his performances. He's always going to... Aaron, have you just thought that up? He's always going to struggle to live up to the hype, certainly, of what his brother's done. But I think he's had a steady enough season. I think this is his first full season in the Championship, or did he play a full season with Birmingham last year? I'm not too sure. They've got good players all over the park. Russin, the centre forward, would have been buoyed by getting his goal last week. They've been a little bit short of goals. I think that certainly listening to my boss after a Sunderland defeat, it tends to be the fact they create so many chances, they just can't put the ball in the back of the net. Sort of seems like us at the start of the year at times, certainly on the road. Look, it's a tricky one to gauge this because, as James rightly says, the pressure was released a little bit on Mick Neal with the win against Stoke. It was a valuable draw they got against Middlesbrough last Sunday. I'm not sure he would have liked to have lost two derbies in charge. Obviously, having lost the FA Cup game, and then if he were to have lost to Middlesbrough, it could have been, you know, it could have spiraled out of control very quickly for him. But that's not to say that this isn't an opportunity for us. You mentioned earlier, it's going to be tough to ask these players to go to the well again, but they're going to have to. I would assume we're going to fly both ways. I know Schumacher said at the start of the season that we only flew one way and then we got the coach back. Given that we've got so many games in such a short space of time, I would be amazed if we're not flying up and back from this one, particularly with the dodgy weather that's around at the weekend as well in the north and northeast. So an early goal is crucial in this, because if we get it, I can guarantee that the 30-odd thousand inside the Stadium of Light will turn. It won't take, you know, with the way they feel about Mick Beale, it's not going to take much to get them to turn. But what we have done on the road under Foster is we have made ourselves incredibly hard to break down. We are compact. We are resolute. We have a good determination to keep the ball out of the back of our net. We've got a goalkeeper who's in very good form. I know some people in the comments probably say, well, he conceded four last night. He pulled off some brilliant saves last night. So it'll be interesting. We need to get an early goal. But equally, I do think under Foster, I'm a little bit more confident that we can certainly get a result, if not all three, then certainly a point. And truth be told, a point would not be a bad result whatsoever. No, you should want to go into every game looking to win. But if you offered me a point now, I'd take your hands off.
I think the side sort of picks itself, does it not, James, for Saturday with those six coming back in? Obviously, we don't know if Miller and Plenguzano will be back, but most of the others will be bar the injuries,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, obviously we hope that not only to get those players back, Plenguzano and Miller for us, but obviously that would mean that they're, especially for Plenguzano, that his wife is recovered or recovering. So yeah, hopefully we see them for both reasons. Yeah, squad picks itself. We haven't got enough firepower to be rotating things too much. So that's a kind of moot point. Did someone say in the comments we had Bundu news or... that I'd missed, or is that not?
Not that I've seen. Right. Sometimes I click on a comments that I shouldn't accidentally. Let's have a look. No, I can't see any. I think Renko said earlier that Foster said they'd both be back, so I assume that's Miller and Plenguzano.
Right.
With Houghton to miss Sunderland, so I don't know.
That was the comment I saw. So yeah, team picks itself, obviously for sure. JB back in the middle, and yeah, the fullbacks, I guess, hopefully Miller on the left, and Mumba picking up on the right. So yeah, just picks itself really, isn't it?
Finn, we went away to Swansea. We got the win. Do you think we're going to do the double-double, the back-to-back, the SOA double?
Yeah, well, I would like to think so, but I think I accidentally mentioned my prediction on the result before we came to this, but I think we're going to lose. I think we'll give a good account of ourselves, but I think we're going to lose 2-1. They've got a lot of quality. Like I think Joe mentioned, his boss says that they miss a lot of chances. They don't really have much of a striker this season. They lost Ross Stewart, I think, last season, and they haven't really replaced him. So that might help us, but they are still a quality side with better players than we have in town. You know, if you were to pick an 11 of a Sunderland and Argyle team, I think the majority would be Sunderland players at this moment in time. Obviously, we are more organised against them. Under Foster, but I do see this. I do see this maybe being a narrow defeat. I think we can still score. We can still give a good account of ourselves. And to be honest, I think I would have been more confident had we not gone to extra time. But we were really, really, we were out on our feet. You could see it when Somerville scored. We were out on our feet last night. So.
Yeah, go on there. Score predictions. I think we'll round it up here, unless anybody's got anything else to add on Sunderland. No, good. Finn, score prediction.
2-1 to Sunderland.
Oh, that's a positive, Joe.
Unbelievable, and that's the last time we'll see Finn Allen this season. Finn, thank you. I'm going to go 2-1 Argyle.
I'm going to go just to be different. 1-1 Foster's unbeaten in normal time greens.
Yeah. I think we've got to keep that positive unbeaten run going. I'll go the same as GT. I think I'll go 1-1. I think it's a long way. It's my first away day from Plymouth for quite some time, and I looked at the map earlier and I was like, I fully regret.
Foster likes his first, doesn't he? And we've obviously had our first goals from set pieces. We've had our first away win. We haven't had back-to-back wins this season, have we, in the league? So
have we not?
I think I saw that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll believe you until I go and fact check that later. And then spend ages wondering how that hasn't happened.
Or you'd be proved wrong in the comments.
Nice. Oh yeah, Cardiff and Swansea back to back. There you go. Instantly proven wrong.
Instantly,
there,
the most recent games.
Yeah, I did think that. I did think it didn't sound right, but it'll be our first triple back-to-back-to-back wins, so we'll go for there. Cheers for joining me, gents. It's been a good one. I'll see you post-Sunderland. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Come on, you greens.
And just remember, all that good stuff, you know, the stuff that most actual, proper, good YouTubers and content creators sign off with. Make sure you like, subscribe, find us on all your podcast platforms, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and all that good stuff. Cheers, guys. Bye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.